Hey, 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 welcome, welcome, welcome to the Ritz Report. It is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023. This is Alex Ritz, your esteemed host. Glad to be back with you. Welcome, everybody, to today's show. If you want to send me notes of adoration and love or pure hatred, Ritz at RitzReport.com. Again, Ritz at RitzReport.com. You can reach me or check me on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, RitzReport, at RitzReport. How we doing, folks? How are we doing in Joe Biden's America? You feeling good? You feeling good out there? Are we all loving life and things that are happening to us in the country? If we just sort of review where we are in Joe Biden's America, what are we seeing? Soaring crime across the country, throughout the cities, law-abiding people trying to defend themselves, getting attacked. And then the law-abiding people end up handcuffed to the beds in the hospital. We have a border that has been blown entirely wide open, thanks to Joe Biden and his administration. Of course, and I don't believe Joe Biden is behind much of this. I think Barack Obama is pulling the strings behind this administration, and many of the people that were in his administration are behind a lot of this nonsense. We also have foreign policy weakness across the world. It's actually sort of interesting if you think about the tenure thus far of Joe Biden in the White House. It's hard to even keep up with all the disasters. Like as I was putting together a list of disasters, where everything that he touches turns to absolute crap, you almost forget the Afghanistan fiasco, because there's been so many fiascos since then that one kind of gets lost in the sauce. You're like, you're so overwhelmed by so much of a mess that this clown has created that you forget about even some of the biggest ones like Afghanistan. So we have foreign policy disasters, Afghanistan, Japan and China. What's going to happen there? Is China going to take over Taiwan? Are they going to do what everybody seems to think they're going to do while they have this meek, old, dementia-ridden person in office, which is to take over Taiwan? We also have inflation rates not seen in 40 years. The Fed meeting tomorrow to talk about interest rates and a potential quarter-point interest rate hike, just to keep hiking up those rates to try to tamp down inflation created by who? Created by who? Created by Joe Biden. And we have to give some credit there to Trump as well. The spending spree, the spending spigot, the money flowing out of the printing presses for the Federal Reserve there has been off the charts, and both parties are responsible. I think actually we have more of a uni party now than we really have ever had, certainly in my lifetime. I think that we are in a new place.
Come on, man.
What else do we have? We have the inflation rates. We touched on gas prices, obviously, are still pretty high. We have the fact that we were energy independent under Donald Trump. We no longer are. We have transgender lunacy that is sweeping the nation. And you have people on the left, which is sort of comical, defending and standing up and fighting for ideas using words that nobody even knew 20 minutes ago. Nobody even knew them. And this is part of the tactic of the communist, part of the tactic of the left, right, is to begin to use language that their opponents are unfamiliar with, because it knocks you off balance. You hear things, and as a reasonable, rational person, you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm debating or I'm having a discussion with someone who we, you know, potentially don't agree. But if they start using language and saying things that clearly don't make any sense, it throws people off balance, and that's the idea. That's the idea. That's why this whole transgender lunacy thing has, like, taken off. I mean, who knew, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what cisgender was, what, you know, the gender binary, what all of this just nonsense, just leftist blather, just tripe that's coming from the left. Who knew what it was? Nobody. Nobody. But we have men competing in women's sports, and you have Democrats that are standing up and cheering for the fact that men are beating women. Did somebody think that men weren't going to beat women? And just because you call yourself a woman and you throw on a dress and you run around in some high heels and lipstick doesn't make you a woman, right? If you grew up as a man, if you went through puberty as a young man and you had that development of your body where you have essentially you're bigger, stronger, and faster, right? There's nothing magical going on here. Nothing that we all didn't understand 20 minutes ago. But the left, of course, is acting as though, oh, we've known this forever. This is just the way that it is. Dylan Mulvaney, in 100 years, if he's found dead and they dig him up, they will say, this is a man. No question about it. Right? There's not going to be like, oh, well, we thought maybe he identified. Sorry. Not the way it works. Not the way it works. And speaking of Dylan Mulvaney and what he has done to Bud Light and their sales, they've had a staggering, staggering fall from grace thanks to this woman that they hired who especially was supposed to go in there and remake. Let's use one of my favorite words. Actually, I hate this word. They went in and they decided they were going to reimagine Bud Light. Bud Light, it's a beer. You drink it and it gives you, I don't even know what. Right? Can we all just think back for the people who are old enough in the audience to think about in the, I don't know, late 80s, into the 90s, even into the early 2000s, when you would sit down and you would actually watch the NFL or you'd watch the NBA or you'd watch NASCAR and they would have commercials. And the commercials actually seemed, or the people who worked on these commercials, actually seemed like they were trying to entertain the audience. Did it make you want to go out and drink Bud Light? But no. No, it didn't, right? But it gave you a favorable impression of the brand. Like, what's up? Remember that? Remember that whole thing that they had with what's up? They had commercials that were actually very funny. Coors Light used hot women and football. Like, these are just like general American things. And you may be able to say, or the left may be able to make the argument that we have evolved and we're beyond that. That people are better now. Well, I will say this as a man, being 52 years old, men are men. They're going to enjoy the same things. They like sports. They like cars. They like beer. So you can evolve them all you like. At the end of the day, we're still guys. We're still guys. So the same messages. There's a reason that online pornography sells the way that it does, and it doesn't ever seem to drop off, yet it never has any customers who admit that they actually use it. That's because men are visually driven and they will respond to things like girls in a beer commercial, right? They will respond to things like stupid humor because that's what guys laugh about. That's what they like to make jokes about. So we had Dylan Mulvaney, who has essentially destroyed Bud Light during the week ending October 22nd. Where did I read this? I think this was the New York Post. The most recent industry data available, Bud Light sales had plunged 21%, accelerating from 17% a week earlier. And they had an initial weekly drop of 6% during the controversial kickoff of the Dylan Mulvaney scandal during the beginning of April. It's crazy. Meanwhile, beer volumes, the number of cases sold, whether in packs of 12, 18, or 24, they dropped an even steeper 26% last week versus 21% a week earlier. And the initial drop of 11%. So this boycott of Bud Light because of Dylan Mulvaney is getting worse. People are not forgetting about this. People are not changing their buying habits, thinking, oh, okay, it's over. I'll just go back and buy a Bud Light. No, you spit in the face of the customer that buys your product. And now you want them to buy it. And they're essentially telling you to pound sand because that's the way the marketplace works, folks. Also in the transgender lunacy bucket, we have a male cyclist who has now won a female race. Shocking, right? Who would think that a male could beat women in a cycling race? Anybody with a brain. Anybody who's being honest and thinking to themselves, well, if you put a man again and a woman against each other on a bicycle, who's going to win in their mid-20s? The man is going to win. Transgender cyclist Austin Clips has finished in first place in the women's category in the Tour of the Gila, I guess this is in Mexico. Clips broke free of the pack late in the final stage of the tour in New Mexico, clocking in at 3 hours and 7 minutes. In a time that saw her, they write here, but obviously it's him, take the top spot on the podium ahead of Marcela Prieto and Cassandra Nelson by a margin of 89 seconds. So not only did he beat them by over almost a minute and a half. That's a total beatdown. Right, so Marcela Prieto, she's actually the winner because she's actually a she. The elite level road race came with a whopping prize money of $35,000. And why wouldn't you do this? Like if you suck as a male athlete and you're looking around and you're watching this transgender lunacy going on, and you think to yourself, like, all I got to do is literally throw on a skirt, say that I'm a chick, and I can go make 35 grand by beating this woman in a race. People with, let's just say, questionable moral guidance will make that choice. And even when this whole thing started, right, you had the UPenn swimmer, Leah Thomas. I don't even know what his real name is. When you had that whole thing start, you think to yourself, how do these guys look in the mirror at themselves and think to themselves, like, man, I'm like a professional athlete. I'm like the number one. I am the top of the top when it comes to my sport. And it's like, dude, no, you're not. The only reason you're in the position that you're in is because you couldn't hack it with the guys and decided to say, I'm a chick. And they let you compete against women for whatever reason, because people are cowards. It's crazy. Also in Joe Biden's America, banks are collapsing. We have the mess in Ukraine that nobody ever seems to talk about ending, right? We just keep sending money and weapons, money and weapons, money and weapons. Apparently now they're sending troops. There's talk of there's troops, special forces guys that are over there on the ground. But nobody talks about, hey, how does this end? Hey, how do we pull the plug on this thing and call it a day? No discussion of that. And obviously we have the man with dementia in the Oval Office. And that's why I don't think we hear about that. We don't hear about that at all. One of the things I wanted to talk about, now that I'm back here with you folks, I moved from New York to Florida. I couldn't, I essentially just couldn't handle it anymore. I had to get out of there. So I moved down here, and every night I go for a walk. And as I was walking the other day, I come across this young man who stops me and asks me, hey, are you in the military? No, I'm not in the military. I used to be a long time ago, whatever. And he says to me, he goes, you know, and I don't know why he picked me out of the crowd to start telling me this story. He starts telling me about the fact that he's feeling lost, and he's feeling as though he's not an American. And I said to him, well, why do you feel that way? And he goes, I don't know. I just don't feel like I'm an American. And I said, well, you were born here. And he said, yeah, I was born here. And I said, what is your background? He said, I am Puerto Rican and Dominican. So he had, you know, a little darker skin than white folks do, but he's so confused by what's happening. I said to him, listen, I said, you need to block out the noise. There is so much noise out there that is constantly running this country down and trying to pit people against one another. Everything that's happening right now in the political space, whether it be, you know, this whole George Floyd incident, it doesn't even seem to matter. Transgender, take any topic you like. Those in power, those in positions of authority, seemed hell-bent on making the population angry with each other. Blacks angry with whites, whites angry with blacks, Hispanics angry with blacks, Asians angry with whites. It doesn't make a difference. It seems like everything that we do is the people in power are trying to pit us against one another. Even with COVID, where we were supposed to have a quote-unquote health emergency, they were pitting us against each other. Who was vaccinated? Who wasn't? We cannot forget that they did that to us. We cannot forget the fact that the Biden administration, straight from the president, is threatening essentially the people of the country that if you haven't gotten a shot, an experimental shot, which turns out has been completely disastrous, unless you work for Pfizer and or own a lot of their stock, it has been completely disastrous. If you just go and look at the VAERS system, look at the number of vaccine-related events that have happened with this shot. It is off the charts. Yet we get preached to from the dementia man in the office that we are going to suffer through the winter we're going to have suffering and death if we haven't gotten this shot. Not only is that not even close to accurate, it is a complete lie. A complete lie. Yet they peddled this and they turned vaccinated against unvaccinated. I had a soundbite a while back. Yeah, here it is. This is a woman who, when the vaccines were rolling out and there were people not wanting to get the vaccines, and she has her kids and she's talking about, well, you know what, better than me explain it, I'm going to play it and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Kids can get the vaccine 5 and up. starting next week. That's great news. And as soon as these guys can get it too, all bets are off. You anti-vaxxers, all bets are off. All bets are off. Yeah, if I can spread it like unknowingly after that, I'm gonna sneeze on ya. A lot of ya. A lot of you. All bets are off because we're all done. We're all done with you. So as soon as these guys can be safe, screw the rest of you. Screw the rest of you. Because we're done. We're done. Yeah. Yeah. No more kind liberal here. Done. Sad thing is some of your kids will die. But I hope they don't. Maybe they'll just take your kids from you. That'd be good.
So here we have a woman. Here we have a woman who clearly has her children in the background, who she keeps referring to, saying once these guys can get vaccinated, all bets are off. Here we have a woman who's feeling empowered because Joe Biden essentially told her that she's empowered, that if you don't get this vaccine, you're a bad person. And not only are you a bad person, you are a danger to everyone around you. A complete lie, a complete fabrication. From the get-go, none of this was true. Yet this woman feels entitled to say, thinking that she's going to be able to spread the infection and infect anybody who hasn't had this stupid shot, that she's going to be able to go sneeze on all of you and give you the infection. And she's morally righteous. She's in the right. She's standing the high ground in her mind. And the reason that she's at that place and has that mindset is because of people like Joe Biden, Tony Fauci, Deborah Birx, and the rest of the motley crew that we had to deal with throughout this mess that was COVID. And that is an example. When I say pitting each other against each other, it doesn't make a difference what the topic is. Everywhere I look, I mean, 95% of everything you see on newscasts is those in power trying to rile up one group against another. It's the worst with crime in terms of interracial crime with white on black. God forbid that happens, and it is a front page story everywhere. If you have black on black, like you have in Chicago and all of the inner cities across the country every week, where black on black people, they're killing each other left and right. That doesn't matter. That doesn't make the news. That doesn't get Black Lives Matter rallied up, right? They don't get together and rally when it's black on black. The only time they get together and do things is when it's white on black. So you had that, I forget his name, the old guy who shot the young black man through the door. And the black man, thankfully, is going to be fine. He was shot, hit, wounded. The man, obviously, it was late at night. He was afraid. He fired through the door. He did a really stupid thing, right? And he's probably going to spend the rest of his life in jail, which under the circumstances, he probably should, because you can't just start shooting through the door because you don't know who it is at 9:30 at night. But this young man, who's going to survive his injuries, and it's unfortunate that it happened, but he's going to survive, was invited to the White House because he's going to be used as a prop. He's going to be used as a prop. I don't know whether he knows that. He probably doesn't. Whether his family knows that, they probably don't. They probably believe that black men across the country are being murdered by police left and right, when in actuality, that just isn't the case when you look at the data. Anybody who questions that, go to the Washington Post. Do the research on your own. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to any other talking head on any other channel. We are in a propaganda war, right? This is a propaganda war. It is the people who believe in truth, the people who believe in justice, the people who believe in the fair application of the law, versus those who only care about power and will do whatever it takes to get it and to keep it. I give you as an example of that, just John Fetterman in Pennsylvania. The Democrat Party elected a man in Pennsylvania who can't speak. As a U.S. senator, your job is to go to Washington, D.C., stand in the Senate chamber and argue on behalf, argue on behalf of your state, argue on behalf of your constituents. And this man can't speak. And not only couldn't he speak, after he wins, has to check himself into Walter Reed Medical Hospital because of depression. Now, if he's depressed, by all means, get help. Absolutely. No question about it. Anybody who's depressed, anybody who has challenging things that they're dealing with emotionally, there's help out there, and everybody should get it. But to think that this man should be in the U.S. Senate representing his constituents in Pennsylvania is insane. Is insane. But again, it comes down to power. It's the same thing with Dianne Feinstein in California. She can't feed herself. She can't dress herself. She can't go to the bathroom on her own. She's still a member of the Senate. Power. Power is what it's about. And watching the news, or the quote-unquote news, and reading the news sometimes is enough just to literally make you crazy. Literally make you crazy. Because you say to yourself, at least I say this to myself, I say, self, I say, what color is the sky in my world? It certainly looks like it's blue. But when you read some of the pieces that are in the news, or what is supposed to be the news, like you look at the New York Times, take the New York Times, right? Here's a newspaper, all the news that's fit to print, right? That was their subhead for the longest time, probably still is. I read the online version, so I'm not sure. But each morning I read the New York Times. There are many days I ask myself, why am I doing this to myself? And the answer is always the same, right? The New York Times is a dumpster fire of a publication. It is an absolute disgrace. The people who work there should be embarrassed. But it sets the news agenda for so many newsrooms across the United States every single day. That's just a sad statement of fact. Sad statement of fact, right? So most days I sit down with my coffee, I open the New York Times, and I steel myself for quote-unquote the news. Here it comes. I'm going to like drink from a fire hose of lies and propaganda. I'm ready for the endless lies and half-truths and misdirections and just the nonsense that comes when I go to the New York Times. And I pay for the right to actually sit down and read this. I encourage you not to pay. There are plenty of people out there who do commentary and analysis, and they review stuff that happens in the Times. I think you can save the few bucks, and you don't need to read it. You're not going to miss much. And like Rush Limbaugh used to say, if you don't read the New York Times, watch ABC. You miss ABC, watch NBC. You miss NBC, watch CBS. You miss CBS, watch CNN. You miss that, read the Chicago Trib. You miss that, you go to the Washington Post. It's all the same. It's all the same. So each day, I steel myself, and I power through. I do the best that I can. But some days you like read things and you think to yourself, like, is this for real? is there a camera in my room? Am I being punked right now? Or does the person who wrote this piece actually believe this? Are they being genuine? So today there was a piece in the Times called "The Woke Mind Virus is Eating Away at Republicans' Brains." Catchy. Catchy. I think his name is Jamel Bowie. He's an opinion columnist. So I've known a lot of New York Times readers in my life. I do find that the ardent readers of the New York Times, generally, most of them do not discern between news and opinion. So then they just read it in the New York Times. If it's in the New York Times, it's true. All right, so the woke mind virus eating away at Republicans' brains. He opens thusly. There are a few reasons to think that President Trump might lose his bid for re-election next year, even if Donald Trump is once more, for the third straight time, the Republican nominee. And he gives his reasons that President Biden might lose. Number one, there's the Electoral College, which could still favor Republican Party just enough to give Trump the 270 electoral votes, even if he doesn't win the popular majority. This is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Isn't this a beautiful thing, the way the leftist works? The way that their mind works, the communist gears in there turning as if like the popular vote means anything. Never has, never. I mean, unless we completely lose the country and they change it, right? We are a republic. We are not a straight democracy, right? Mob does not rule here. That's not the point of a republic, not the point of our republic. So we have the Electoral College. I don't know whether Mr. Bowie knows this and how it works. I'm sure he probably does. He just doesn't like it because when his people get the majority, the popular vote. He wants them to win. And what I say is anybody who doesn't like the way things happen in government, there is a process where you can go through to fix that. You can do it at the local level. You can do it at the state level. You can do it at the federal level. So the Electoral College is what we have. It's what you got to work with. But here, he starts off by complaining about it. So that's his first reason, that Trump still could get to 270, even if he doesn't win the popular vote. His second reason is that there's Biden's overall standing. Around 43% of Americans approve of his job performance, which is insane, right? Insane. Who are these 4 out of 10 Americans who think that this guy in the White House is doing a good job? I would genuinely like to know how these people, unless they're directly related to Chairman Xi over in China, how they're better off today than they were 2 years ago. His third reason is the economy. He says here, which may hit a downturn between now and next November. Even if it doesn't, Biden will still have presided over the highest inflation rate since the 1980s, which everybody saw coming, by the way. Anybody with half a brain who knows anything about economics could look back. It's not as though we haven't been here before. You can see it coming. And he writes, last, there's Biden himself, the oldest person ever elected president. Next year, he will be 81, the oldest president ever stand for re-election. And his age is a real risk. You think? You think? Mr. Bowie then goes on to talk about Biden's advantages, namely low unemployment, meaningful economic growth, and meaningful legislative accomplishments. So he doesn't provide any detail here. He just makes these sort of broad stroke statements. Nonsense, lies, like what exactly is he talking about? He doesn't get into any sort of depth there, like economic growth, low unemployment, like you let people go back to work after you didn't let them work for COVID. Is that the low unemployment number? How many people do we have in terms of the labor force participation rate? How many do we have now compared to before COVID? Because if we're going to look at actual numbers to numbers, go back to 2018, how many people were in the labor force versus how many people are in the labor force today? If you look at those two numbers and then you look at the unemployment rate, then you maybe can do a comparison. But he doesn't get into any details because that's not the point of the piece. The point of pieces in the New York Times often is not to give any detail whatsoever. It is to paint with broad strokes so the leftists reading the paper get a feeling for what they should think. And he leads them down that path. He continues, but Biden's biggest advantage has to do with the opposition. And here is the magic sentence in the entire piece. The magic sentence. And this is where you start thinking to yourself, like, is the sky blue in your world? because it's blue in mine. He writes, the Republican Party has gotten weird. Let me repeat that. The Republican Party has gotten weird. It's not just that Republican policies are well outside the mainstream, but that the party itself has tipped over into something very strange. Really? So, this caused me to sit back with my cup of joe and reflect. The Republican Party has gotten weird. Well, Mr. Bowie, I would have to say that I respectfully disagree. The Republican Party has gotten weird? Let's take a look. Let's reflect on what the Democrat Party has done in the last couple of years, shall we? Here we go. Biological men competing in women's sports and beating the women to great applause from Democrats. Number one. Dos, men being named Woman of the Year and being celebrated by Democrats. Tres, Democrats fighting for laws that would allow children to conspire with educators in public schools to allow the children to dress and behave as members of the opposite sex while withholding the information from the parents. That's number three. Tres. Cuatro. Democrats fighting for laws that would allow children to be escorted across state lines to get gender-affirming care without consent or informing the parents. Want another? Cinco. Multi-billion dollar corporations run by Democrats are enlisting the most fringe members of society to represent their brands and run them into the ground, i.e. Bud Light. Six, Democrat DAs across the country refusing to prosecute criminals and arresting and prosecuting those who dare to stand up and defend themselves when threatened by criminals. We have the system turned on its head. Number seven, we have a president who can't speak, clearly has dementia, and has a reprobate son, and they are all protected and celebrated by Democrats. Eight, we have the Democrats electing a senator in the state of Pennsylvania who, like Joe Bite Me, can't speak. In fact, Fetterman's worse than Bite Me. After his election, he checked into Walter Reed to be treated for his depression and what other side effects he has from suffering the stroke that he had. Now, I wish Mr. Fetterman well, but he shouldn't be in the Senate. Number nine, Democrats want to allow grown men dressed as women to perform erotic, sexually explicit dances in front of children. Does that seem normal? Number 10, Democrats want to allow children of all ages to have access to extremely pornographic material in public schools. And when people push back, they yell about book banning. Book banning. 11, Democrats want children who are too young to get a tattoo, join the military, or buy a beer, decide that they just want to cut off body parts because they feel like it. And Mr. Bowie, the Republican Party is weird. All I see the Republican Party doing is reacting to, and this was just a list I came up with off the top of my head. I'm sure if I sat down for another 20 minutes, I could come up with more. All of this is insanity. And you guys are going to the bat to defend all of it. But the Republican Party is weird. For proof of this weirdness, Mr. Bowie provides examples from, can you guess who? Can you guess who? Ron DeSantis. Of course, Ron DeSantis. Come on. They'll always tell you who they're afraid of, right? They'll always tell you who is the threat that we need to deal with. And it needs to be, in this piece, for Mr. Bowie, Ron DeSantis. He continues, I thought I had this thought while watching a clip of Ron DeSantis speak from a lectern to an audience that we can't see. In the video, which his press team highlighted on Twitter, DeSantis described the woke mind virus, which he calls a form of cultural Marxism that tries to divide us based on identity politics, which is exactly what they're doing, which is what I was speaking about a moment ago. Divide us based on identity politics. Turn one group against another. Can we, just as Americans, forget whether you're left, right, center, doesn't matter. Can we agree that we do have people that are trying to divide us? If we can agree on that, then we can move forward. Right? Because I don't think anybody, left, right, center, wants to be overtaken by an authoritarian government after they have separated us to the fact that we essentially lose our power as citizens. But anyway, back to the piece. He writes, now I can follow this as a professional internet user. I don't know what a professional internet user is. maybe Mr. Bowie can tell me what a professional internet user is.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Anyway, he's a professional internet user and a political observer. I know that woke mind virus is a term of art for the condescending and misguided idea that progressive views on race and gender are an outside contagion threatening the minds of young people who might otherwise reject structural explanations of racial inequality and embrace a traditional vision of the gender binary. Blather. Leftist blather. You want me to read that again? You want me to read it again? It's a whole bunch of words strung together. And you can tell he's a card-carrying leftist because they write things like this and they think they sound really smart. The idea, the intent of writing is to convey an idea clearly to the reader. Convey an idea clearly to the reader. That is the goal of any good writer. And something like this, I know that woke mind virus is a term of art for the condescending and misguided idea that progressive views on race and gender are outside contagion, threatening the minds of young people who might otherwise reject structural explanations of racial inequality and embrace the traditional vision of the gender binary. I know that cultural Marxism is a right-wing buzzword meant to sound scary and imposing. No, actually, cultural Marxism is scary and imposing. You should go back and look at Mao and what he did with his folks and the cultural revolution that they had there. Why don't you go check out that, Mr. Bowie? To a normal person, on the other hand, this language is borderline unintelligible. It doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't obviously mean anything, and it's quite likely to be far afield of your interest and concerns. So here, he tells you that if you don't understand what he just wrote, that you're just too dumb. That you don't understand. You're just too dumb. The woke mind virus and a form of cultural Marxism, don't worry about it. You're too stupid. I'm going to tell you what to think about it, and then we can move forward. Because as he says here, Ron DeSantis is a regular offender when it comes to speaking in the jargon of the culture war-obsessed conservatives, but he's not the only one. I would say, in terms of the culture war, we are only on essentially our five-yard line trying to defend the end zone from you guys with one of the 11 things that I listed earlier in terms of, you know, kids cutting off body parts and going across state lines to do whatever it is they want to do without their parents' consent. And we're just trying to defend against it. We're trying to defend those kids who can't get a tattoo but want to chop off their breasts. We're trying to defend those kids who can't buy a beer but want to have their genitals removed. Is that so crazy? Anyway, not to belabor this piece, but he finishes his opinion piece thusly. As for Joe Biden, the current state of the Republican Party only strengthens his most important political asset, his normalcy. He promised in 2020 that he would be a normal president.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. He did promise that he would be a normal president. And he is promising for 2024 to continue to serve as a normal president. Normal isn't fun, and normal isn't exciting, but normal has already won an election. I won't be surprised if it wins another. Mr. Bowie has used normal in this short paragraph 6 times. Joe Biden, a.k.a. Plugs, a.k.a. Joe Bite Me, is normal, according to Mr. Bowie. I wonder if Mr. Bowie has a daughter. And if so, I wonder if the daughter has written in her diary about showering with Mr. Bowie. Because that's what Joe Biden's daughter wrote about her dad. But don't worry, folks. Totally normal. Totally normal. Thank you, Jamel Bowie. As we can see, the sky in your world is way different than the sky in mine.
Loser. Loser.
Yes, loser. And before we get out of here, let's listen to a couple of sound bites from
Hero of the Stupid.
Hero of the Stupid. And that would be Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
Come on, Ben.
And by the way, it costs a lot of money. It cost about $740 billion over 10 years. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years.
100 years.
Look, here's the lives. It's just, it's, I mean,
think about it.
I got hairy legs. That turned blonde in the sun.
Present,
everybody.
The kids
used to come up and reach in the pool rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
Totally normal.
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
There he is, President of the United States. There he is, folks. Thanks, Joe. Good to see you. Thanks, good to see you.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Thanks for joining me on the show today, folks. It is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023. Thanks for joining me on the Ritz Report. If you liked what you heard, please go wherever you download your podcasts, and leave me a review. 5 stars if you loved it, 1 star if you thought it was crap. But I will be back on Thursday. I hope you will be here with me. Enunciate, Alex. And until next time, don't forget the magic tagline of the Ritz Report. Let's go, Brandon.